Welcome to Stay on Course with me, Julie Riga. My life has been a roller coaster of highs and lows, but what I know to be true is that when we are grounded in our purpose and savor the sweet moments of life, we are truly a success. Today, you are going to get the ingredients for success because life is salty and life is sweet. Together, let's explore the possibilities of our own lives and learn from thought leaders around the globe. Ready, guys? Let's cook it. Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the Stay on Course podcast. Today, I have my friend and the most amazing guest, Raquel Hayes, and she is an award-winning professional with more than 20 years of experience leading high-profile projects, as well as managing, designing, and developing interactive strategies that incorporate complex problem-solving, adult learning, and technology to deliver engaging and highly successful performance-based solutions to diverse audiences. Welcome, Raquel, to the Stay on Course podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, Julie. That was a mouthful. I'm impressed when I hear that.
It's amazing. Yeah. And I'm so excited to have you here today because we are both fellow learning geeks.
Yes. Yes.
I wonder how many listeners today are feeling geeky when they listen to anything about learning, because people that are in learning love to learn.
Yes. We love to learn.
That's why we have taken these kinds of careers. But today we're going to get into a very interesting topic, and that is the topic of neuroscience and learning and the manager's perspective and the manager's role in all of this, because the manager really helps forward the learning that their employees are taking.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, Julie, I just want to mention too, I have statistics say that 70% of what you learn and the new skills that you gain are on the job. So a manager's role in training is huge. It's huge. So that's why, you know, I have been so passionate, and why this subject is so close to my heart is because it's a big role, and you can make such a huge difference in people's lives that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But before we get into like the meat of this.
Okay. Okay.
I always ask my guests, what is your favorite food?
My favorite food is, I gotta say, it's anything Cajun. When I was a child growing up, my mother said that you don't have to finish your food, but you absolutely have to try it. So I'm one of those people who will try anything.
Yes.
And I have to say, of all the things that I've had, it's going to be Cajun food. Anything spicy.
Anything spicy.
Let's try it.
Okay.
Love it.
All right. There you go. Well, let's keep it spicy today on this podcast. We are going to have some fun, and we're going to learn about neuroscience. How did you get into this career, by the way? Why?
Wow. Great question. I got into training. I started in marketing, believe it or not. And I was a copywriter, and I was doing it for a training company. And I got really interested. Well, how do you do that? What are you doing? And that's really how I got a start.
Yeah.
However, I will also say that there are a ton of learning theories out there. There are so many things that we have to learn. We want to be successful, obviously. How's it going to translate when you're training people? And that's how I kind of roundabout got into neuroscience, because I wanted to understand how the brain works.
Sure.
And how is what I'm training or what I'm developing, how's that really going to impact people? And how's it going to have that long-term impact? So that's really how I got started. That long explanation, but hopefully that gives you a good idea.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And I'm sure the audience appreciates that, because we do get into conversations with a lot of learning people, because we are learning people. And everybody wants to understand your career journey. How did you get to this place? So thank you for sharing that. Sure. So we're going to get into these ingredients for success in neuroscience and the manager's role in learning. And where are we going to start our ingredients today?
Well, one of the things that I think is really interesting and that I truly believe is when we're talking about training, it's never a single event. When's the last time that you went to a training class and you were able to, okay, I'm leaving it, I'm changing my behaviors, and everything's going to be different after this 1 hour training? It never happens.
It never happens. It never. And especially with like leadership and behavioral things, you need that conflict management class every year.
Without a doubt. Well, in some cases, you need it every week.
But
really, we're talking about a process. It's definitely not, okay, as a manager, I'm going to sit you down and I'm going to give you this new information and you're going to take it and run with it. So I came up with, based on what I've read and what I know of neuroscience, is kind of three steps that you can take as a manager to make sure that these things happen. Before we get into that, though, I think it's really important to kind of understand how the brain works a little bit. And I just want to point out that you have two things that you want to think about: working memory and long-term memory. And when you're training someone, you want to try and get what that new information, that new skill, that new process, you want to get it to your long-term memory as soon as possible. And how in the world do you do that?
Yeah, tell us. I need to know.
Well, think about a chain link. And the new information is that beginning of the chain. And your long-term memory is the end of the chain. And you want to kind of get that link on there and strengthen that chain to get it there. So how do you do that? Well, three steps we talked about, right? First step, I would say, is you want to use effective questioning. Mm. Now, when I say, Julie, when I say effective questioning, what comes to mind? What do you think about?
Well, I'm a coach, so this is a different kind of question for me. Well, what I think about for me as a coach, do you want me to have my coach brain on or my other or any?
Well, you could have your coach brain, you could have your manager brain, your leader brain. If I were to tell you, you need to use effective questioning.
Yeah. Well, so what I know to be true, because I'm a podcast host as well, is that effective questioning for me means that I need to really be listening. So the first beginning for me is thinking, okay, what is that person saying and how is that person behaving so that I can then ask the right next question?
Yeah, well, and that's a piece of it. But with effective questioning, when we're talking about one-on-one training, what you want to do is you want to try and pull things from a long-term memory. So as an example, if I were to tell you, Julie, when you start your podcast, you need to use this very new process. And you're going to think to yourself, okay, I've done this successfully, but why are you giving me a new process? Which a lot of times when you're working and the company comes up, okay, you have to use this new process, you're kind of thinking to yourself, well, I do it fine already.
I see. So right? What you want to do is relate it back to something they've already done and they already have a long-term engagement with. And I like to use cooking as an example because we all have been cooking forever. So there's a lot of references in cooking you can use to help teach, especially a process. You know, you have a recipe and all these
right.
things.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But the key is to get your employee or your team member to kind of talk a little bit more. Versus you just telling.
Right.
And effective questioning can really help with that.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. Those questions need to relate to what they already do so that you can introduce that new skill. And when we're talking about that chain link, it strengthens that chain so that they can start using it right away.
Yes.
So the other thing, so next step, effective questioning. That's our first part.
Sure.
Right?
It makes sense.
Yes. So the next thing that you want to do is you want to learn it, link it. So we're talking about that chain link, going along with that chain link, link it, link the new information to the old information that they already have, and help people learn in context. So linking it to previous skills or information, it's automatically going to go to your long-term memory.
Right.
And you know, you want to kind of keep it to a minimum, keep it as simple as possible, but let them practice kind of as you introduce. So if it's a soft skill, maybe you want to do a role play. If it's learning a new computer system, let them get in there and play with it while you're training. And that way it's going to strengthen those links along the way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I know that when I took my class, I took the 6 D's of breakthrough learning. And basically in the class, they said that you cannot be lecturing for more than 7 minutes.
I've heard that. I've absolutely heard that before. And a lot of times that's when I'm in the classroom, obviously there's more people than one-on-one, but I ask questions all the time.
Sure.
And it's so much more helpful.
Yeah. So 7 minutes is the longest you can talk until you have some sort of interaction with the audience. And then also, you know, we look at the TED Talk. So when I did my TED Talk, it was 10 minutes. They gave me 10 minutes, but most TED Talks are 18 minutes. But let me tell you, in 10 minutes, I was able to give a very amazing message. You can tell a lot in 10 minutes if you're very succinct in what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that goes back to making sure that you keep it really simple.
Right.
Love it. Love it. So then the next thing, and this, I'm going to circle back to what I said. Training is never a single event.
Right.
When you're training people, especially one-on-one, and you're doing it on the job, and this takes a little bit of time. You have to kind of prepare, but you've heard that when you go through training, you know, within a day you lose 30%, and then within 2 days you lose. Right. So I would not go longer than 72 hours, but you want to do that retrieval practice. So first the questioning, second, contextual learning, learn it, link it, and then you want to do retrieval practice. So plan for people to go back and practice what you've already trained them.
Wow. And you know what? How many people do not do that?
Never.
And right. You know, it's not necessarily part of the plan either. When the learning manager and the designer are planning the learning, this is not happening. Even if it's an email, right, that has a video that prompts the people to do it. You know, this is very interesting. I went to a class when I was younger in my career. It actually changed my entire life. I went to a class called The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. It was a 2-day class.
Yep.
And in the class, the woman says, you know, not everybody's going to get to take this class, but what we want you to do is teach this class to 4 people.
Yeah. And wow. And that's a way that you can retrieve what you've learned and practice it with other people. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. But yes, with Franklin Covey, that's of course.
Well, and how many people didn't do it? Probably nobody did it except for me. I did it. So I actually got my friends together. I'm like, listen, there was 7 of us. I need you to meet me once a week for the next 7 weeks. I'm going to take you through the 7 habits. and we're going to do one habit a week. Okay. And they're like, okay, Julie, like everyone said yes to me. So we would literally go get our lunch and I would teach them this one habit. For me, it was life changing.
Yeah.
For them, I hope they got something out of it. But for me, it was like that made a print in my brain forever.
Right. And had you not done that, it would have just kind of been like, oh, that's great information. And now I'm going back to what I've always done.
It's a great, great example. I'm going to give you one more example.
Okay.
So I was in one of my jobs, I was responsible for websites, like 25 websites in clinical.
Oh my gosh.
Clinical development and medical affairs. I was working at Novartis. And my new responsibility was to not only create websites, but then I was going to be having to teach people how to do this.
Oh gosh.
And it was very complicated in the beginning. Back in the day, it was very complicated to make websites and everybody needed a website. This was like the new thing.
Yeah.
So someone said something to me once and they said, listen, the only way to learn this is to go home and make your own website.
That's true.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do that. So I went home and I freaking sat there trying to do this thing with some help and with some failures. But once I did it, I learned it. And now I have it.
You mentioned something that was really important. And that was you built your websites and you had some failures. When we're talking about retrieval practice, I think it's really important that managers understand that they're going to fail, but create an environment, a safe environment where they're allowed to fail and reinforce the things that they learned and just know that they're not going to remember everything and they're not going to do it perfectly. If you trained them 2 days ago, they haven't looked at it or thought about it. And you're asking them to retrieve that information. Remember, it's still in your working memory, but create those long links or those stronger links so that it goes to long-term memory. And I got this great information. I learn it, link it. You've heard me say that. That actually came from a wonderful book that got me into understanding much more about neuroscience, which is called Uncommon Sense Teaching. I recommend it to any learning professional. It is a really great way to get more of an understanding of how your brain works and processes information to get it into your long-term memory. So that has been a fantastic resource and really where this comes from.
Right. I think the biggest thing that I want people to take away here is that 72-hour part. I don't think everybody's doing this. This is really huge because if that's going to push people over the edge, is it 72 hours and then is it another week or two? What's the next check-in point then?
I would recommend just going 3 days. No longer than 3 days apart. Sure. But depending on the complexity of what you're training, or even if it's simple, make sure that you have those reinforcements and make sure those reinforcements are engaging. I can recall actually using a new technique on sales, and we would have, it was so exciting, we would have VPs walk in and ask you to make a statement, a sales statement that you learned in class. So it can be just off the cuff, or you can plan it out a little bit better, like your suggestion through email or a quick practice or a quick coaching.
Sure.
But depending on the complexity, keep going.
Well, and this is the thing, like learning professionals are busy. They work all this time to get a learning program up and running. They're not necessarily thinking about that learn it, link it part.
Yeah.
So I just had an idea here while we were talking that you could use a podcast-like environment to do those 72-hour check-ins than the next 3 days and the next 3 days, so that you're building that long-term muscle. So let's say me and you, we were hosting a learning program. We got on a Zoom. We created 3 to 5 videos. The 3 to 5 videos were being dropped at certain time points.
Absolutely.
And then the individual might have an action item or something to do, but that's a brilliant way of not having this thing be so big, because to be honest, you know, when you are building learning within an organization, you know how hard it is to lift and shift and to get people to come to a program. So it right. has to be something that is consumable when the learner is ready to consume it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing, when you're thinking about as an L&D professional, when you're thinking about training or when you're thinking about presenting this information to new people, one of the things that I've consistently done throughout my career is make sure that there are available coaching guides for managers
yes.
after training, exercises that they can do. And it can really be, you really have to think about, again, I know that we have this training, we're scheduling this, but make sure it's just not a single event. And that can come in terms with follow-up coaching guides, follow-up emails, a quiz maybe 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
However you want to do it, but for sure.
Really, really good information. All right, Krakow. So can you quickly recap the 3 ingredients?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So start with effective questioning. Next, make sure that it's learned in context and link it to previous skills. Finally, retrieval practice to reinforce those skills and make sure that people can use it, understand it, and we've got these new skills down pat.
Amazing. Amazing. Krakow, where can the Stay On Course audience find out more about you?
They can reach me through LinkedIn, Krakow Hayes. And shortly coming up here soon, we will have a new website with my contact information on Neurovision 360 Consulting coming your way. But you can always reach me at Neurovision, Grickel at neurovision360.com.
Amazing. And thank you so much for being a guest on the Stay On Course podcast.
Thank you, Julie. It was a wonderful time.
My dad, Annie Arrigo, was not just a chef. He was my hero. From the hardships of World War II to the heights of culinary excellence, his story is nothing short of remarkable. Now, this story lives on in Stay On Course, a book that is very close to my heart. It's filled with his own words, his recipes, and the wisdom he imparted to me. Just imagine, 4 months before he passed, he handed me his life story, urging me to finish it. In these pages, you'll discover the secrets behind mouthwatering dishes and the lessons he taught me about leadership and perseverance. And trust me, there are some incredible tales in here, like the time he pulled off a birthday bash for Frank Sinatra with just 48 hours notice. So, if you're hungry for inspiration and craving a taste of Ennio's legacy, head over to stayoncoursebook.com. That's stayoncoursebook.com. Grab your copy and let his story ignite your passion.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Stay On Course. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast so Julie can continue serving up delectable experts and appetizing content directly to your earbuds. And remember, right now, you have the ingredients to be living the life you are meant to live. This has been a production of The Media Casters.